Hi, this is Rachel Canner, Assistant Site Editor for SearchStorage.co.uk. I am here with Eric Bergener, Senior Analyst and Consultant from the Tanasia Group. Eric has experience with emerging technologies, having worked extensively with high availability computing, heterogeneous replication, storage management and virtualization, and continuous data technologies during the early formative years for these technologies from the vendor side. Eric joins us today to discuss data deduplication on primary storage. How are you doing today, Eric?
Very well, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Okay, let's get started. What is the difference between data deduplication on primary storage and data deduplication on secondary storage?
Well, Rachel, the way I like to think about this, there are actually a number of different technologies that are used to reduce the amount of physical storage capacity required to store a given amount of data. And deduplication is just one of those types of technologies. I prefer to think about them in terms of storage capacity optimization technologies and then dedupe, compression, and there's other algorithms as well that are used to achieve the same end result, which is to minimize the amount of physical storage required to store a given amount of data.
Okay. When data reduction is performed on primary storage, is it still deduplication or something else entirely?
Yeah, so basically what deduplication does is it breaks data down into smaller chunks and it looks for common chunks across a variety of different types of files and data out there. And then it generally just keeps a very small number, sometimes even as few as one, copy of the original chunk, and then it provides references for all the other chunks. And so in this way, you're able to save a significant amount of space. But there are other technologies, for instance, compression, which really doesn't work the same way as dedupe does. Compression is really looking for patterns sort of instantaneously in files, doesn't refer to any type of an index for data that it's seen before. And then there are also other methods which we're starting to see used against primary storage, which are specific certain file types. And there are very specific algorithms that can just reduce the amount of storage for that particular file type, like a PDF or a PowerPoint file or something of that nature, but would not work effectively against another type of data. So when things got started in this arena, you primarily saw these technologies applied to secondary storage in backup and archive environments. But what's new and a very interesting development in this space is we now have companies that are specifically targeting the use of storage capacity optimization technologies against primary storage, and primary storage being defined as basically online applications. That could be online files, it could be online databases, but primary online applications is what's new about the focus on primary storage optimization.
Okay, great. What are the pros and cons of using data deduplication for primary storage?
Yeah, so one of the issues with primary storage that's different than secondary storage is you tend to have low latency access requirements against primary storage. And so when things got started with technologies like deduplication, they clearly added latency to perform some of the processing, but this additional latency really didn't make much of a difference because you were dealing with nearline types of data sets, backup, and in some cases even maybe offline data sets, you know, that they could be archive type of data sets. So one of the problems that the vendors had to solve when they started going after primary storage was find a way to achieve this reduction in storage space without negatively impacting the performance of these primary applications. And the one other key that vendors needed to think about is that if you think about secondary storage and backups in particular, where every day you're backing up the same data sets and there may be a small amount of change day to day in those data sets, you have a significant amount of redundancy. On the primary storage side, you tend to have a lot less of that kind of redundancy. And for that reason, most of the vendors that are going after the primary storage optimization space don't actually use deduplication technology. They're using other forms of storage capacity optimization to achieve what is in effect the same result, reducing the amount of storage required to store a given amount of data.
So who really needs data deduplication for primary storage? What kind of company?
Where this becomes interesting is if you could decrease the storage spend that you basically have to put out to store a given amount of data. If you look at the data reduction ratios that are achievable with a lot of the products that are in the primary storage space, you'll see ratios sort of in the 3-to-1 to 10-to-1 range at this point. And what that translates directly to for an IT administrator would be if, let's say, I have to keep 20 terabytes of data online, and I can effectively store that 20 terabytes of data in only 2 terabytes of physical storage. Now that translates to lower power requirements, less cooling, potentially less floor space, and also less spend on storage, less storage to manage. So there are a lot of advantages that are that come along with the primary storage optimization. So I think this is a technology that is appropriate to consider for any company. But there are certain cases where the type of latency that may be added to do the process, particularly for inline approaches to primary storage optimization, may mean that they couldn't be used. But in general, the amount of latency that they're adding is so small that, and they can process data at upwards of 300 to 400 megabytes a second for some of the best offerings on the market today, I'd say there are probably only very few application environments that would not be appropriate or where this technology would not be appropriate.
Okay. What are the costs of using data dedupe for primary storage?
Yeah, so the cost associated with this, typically to buy into the technology, you need to buy an appliance of some kind, and most of the appliances that are out there on the market leverage industry standard components, x86 architectures. They may run on a Windows or a Linux base, and then they've got some application software that's effectively performing the storage capacity optimization. If you are using these in an inline manner, then you need to have 2 of them because you need to have high availability. But if you're using them in a post-processing manner, where the data is written from your primary application to disk first, and only then later a secondary process comes by, picks that data up, and in effect smashes it down into a smaller amount before it then rewrites it back to disk. In that environment, you may not necessarily need that to have a redundant configuration set up. Now, one of the things to keep in mind, however, is that since you are now storing the data in a form that is not readable by the primary application, this does potentially introduce some additional risk. And, you know, the risk here is that, let's say, one of the appliances fails and you need to get that data back, which in an online primary application environment, you know, the requests for that data are going to come many times in a minute. So this is not like the backup environment. So what I've seen operationally people do is most of these things are deployed in redundant configurations with 2 nodes. And, you know, if the first node fails, then the second node just immediately takes over and can continue to process the data, reduce it, serve it up, that type of thing. So that's a couple of the considerations. I think one of the other ones that in the early stages of this market, there were questions raised, but I think the technology has developed to the point where this is no longer a concern, but I will mention it, though, and that's a data reliability issue, that if I'm writing the data and it's effectively being transformed by this appliance into a different form to store it, then when I request that data and read it back out and it's reconverted back into its original form, how do I know that that is the exact same set of blocks that I wrote into that file, you know, whenever it may have been when it was originally written? And vendors tend to use checksum and other data verification techniques to ensure that they're getting out exactly what was put back in. So I think there's less of a concern here, but the issue about failures that I mentioned initially is clearly something that people need to architect for when using these types of applications.
Okay, good. And what are the available approaches and architectures within the data dedupe on primary storage market?
Well, Rachel, there are 2 main approaches, inline and post-processing. And then there are several architectural models which apply to each of those areas. So first, let's take a quick look at the difference between inline and post-processing. In inline processing, you've basically got something that is sitting in the data path between the production application server and the primary storage target, and it is doing the primary storage optimization or deduplication processing before that data ever gets written to the disk target. In the post-processing approach, what happens is you have an appliance or something like that sitting outside of the data path. So the data is written directly from the primary application server to the disk storage. And then you've got a secondary process that comes along, picks that data up, runs it through a set of algorithms to reduce its size, and then writes it back to that primary storage. So in the primary storage optimization space, we actually think this market is going to develop in a manner relatively similar to how secondary storage optimization from vendors like DataDomain, Sepeton, Diligent has developed. Although we think it's probably going to go along a little bit quicker path just because people are now familiar with these kinds of technologies. And in the primary storage optimization space, there tend to be 2 kinds of algorithms that are applied to data. One is a generic algorithm where they basically use the same algorithms no matter what type of data is being processed. And then there are some vendors that offer application-specific algorithms, where what they'll do is identify the data type coming through, and then they'll effectively pick an algorithm off the shelf that is specific to that data type and use that to attempt to reduce the data. Within these two approaches, inline and post, we've got several different architectures. And so what I'd like to do is just walk you briefly through the four that are out there and mention a few of the vendors that are playing in those spaces. So the first one is an appliance-based approach. And the first vendor to get into primary storage optimization, a company called StoreWise, uses this approach, and they use a set of generic sort of enhanced compression algorithms against the data sets. And of all the vendors, they're the only ones that are currently going after online transaction processing type applications like mission-critical databases, although their product can be used against any data type, any primary data type. In that same appliance area, and StoreWise, by the way, is an inline approach. On the post-processing side in the appliances, there's a company called Ocarina Networks, and they got started out of the chute focusing on the graphics space. So they have algorithms that will actually go in, identify the data type. Is it an MPEG file? Is it a PDF? Is it a PowerPoint? And then draw a specific algorithm off the shelf that's designed to deal with that particular type of data. In both of these cases, you're buying an x86 appliance plus the software from these vendors and then using it to create the solution. Then there's another approach, which I call integrated storage system. And this is a vendor that announced a product at the recent storage networking world called Greenbyte. And basically what they've done is created a set of some layered software that sits on top of Solaris ZFS and runs on a Sunfire X4540 platform and is specifically designed to be used against files that are stored in Solaris ZFS. So they have a very specific focus to, obviously, the Sun market. Then another area, there are vendors that implement these types of technologies through the operating system, and NetApp is probably the one that's best known in this space. Earlier this year in March, they took a product that they had been shipping for revenue in 2007 called ASIS. They changed the name of that product to NetApp Dedupe for FAST, and then they bundled it into ONTAP. So now every time you buy a NetApp machine with the ONTAP OS, you actually get this capability. And you can decide whether or not you want to use it, so it's not automatic, but it does come at no additional charge. Sun has also made some directions comments in this space, talking about possibly bundling in some sort of a single instancing or capacity optimization capability with some of the file systems that they might ship going forward in the Solaris environment. And then the final architecture is there are a variety of cards available. Probably the premier vendor in this space is a company called Hyphen, who sells primarily to OEMs, not directly to end users. And they offer both they offer cards that will run software to do dedupe. And they actually, at S&W a couple of weeks ago, just announced the industry's first hardware-based approach. So they've got an ASIC now that runs deduplication algorithms, and that can be placed on their existing card offering. So you can actually get cards from Hyphen for systems vendors to incorporate into their offerings that can do deduplication, compression, and encryption all basically at the same time. Then there's another area I should mention where we're seeing some developments, although there have been no products yet in this space. Some of the vendors in the wide area network acceleration market use deduplication technology internal to their appliances. And there's an opportunity if these vendors decide to put a local disk cache on their appliances that are sitting out in remote offices to be able to offer dedupe against primary storage. What's interesting here is that these appliances are effectively touching this data before it ever gets to a primary storage device and can apply these algorithms to achieve the data reduction at that location. So you'd get benefits not only in terms of reduced bandwidth consumption, but then also in the benefits associated with reduced storage capacity. So this is an area that we would recommend that you watch. We expect the first products in this space to become available in the first half of 2009, and this should present some interesting new dynamics in that market. But in summary, I guess what I would say on this question is that we do expect a number of new vendors to enter into this space within the next 6 to 12 months. We think there's a lot of opportunity for not only vendors here, but for end users to reap the benefits, which could apply not only to the primary storage, but also to storage capacity savings in the secondary storage arena because obviously if the data is deduped at the primary side, then it can effectively stay in that reduced form as it flows along the information lifecycle.
Okay, great. Are there any other options?
I think we've pretty much covered the gamut of the available options that are out there, but there is one other point I'd like to make that I think people can consider in this arena, and that is if you are going to be using storage capacity optimization technologies against data, whether that's primary or secondary, if you've used it against primary storage, then basically you've gotten most of the benefit that you may end up achieving if you try to apply it to secondary storage. So in other words, you may not need to do this at both the primary and the secondary levels, because if you've done it at the primary level, some of the advantages flow back automatically. And, you know, the advantages here, I mentioned a number of them earlier, but if you think about how it translates onto the secondary storage side, if you're doing primary storage optimization, you know, the amount of data that you back up is driven by how much data is sitting in primary storage. So if all of a sudden, instead of backing up 20 terabytes of data, I need to back up 2 terabytes of data, then there are a lot of savings that can be gained in the backup infrastructure. Less power, less cooling, shorter backup windows, you know, all of that can potentially accrue there as well. So I think those are interesting things to think about, because there aren't just the cost savings associated with primary storage. There's also some advantages that accrue on secondary storage.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for your time, Eric.
Okay. Well, good to talk with you today, Rachel.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.